Subheading. He will lead into apostasy by means of smooth words. The span of verses from Daniel 11:32 through 35 foretells how the king of the north will influence God's people more directly. Daniel 11:32 indicates that the king of the north poses a direct challenge to the faith and integrity of Jehovah's people. It reads, "And those who are acting wickedly against the covenant, he will lead into apostasy by means of smooth words. But as regards the people who are knowing their God, they will prevail and act effectively." On the night of the Lord's evening meal, Jesus concluded a kingdom covenant with his apostles, and by extension, with all anointed Christians. At the Lord's side at the Passover table was Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. The traitorous Judas was certainly guilty of acting wickedly against the covenant. And as already been discussed, Judas, the son of destruction, has a modern counterpart in the man of lawlessness, who was instrumental in fomenting apostasy within the true Christian congregation as an immediate prelude to the manifestation of Christ. Since Christ's kingdom is no part of this world, Christians must also be no part of the world. Those acting wickedly against the covenant are apostates who violate their covenant with Jehovah and Christ by becoming part of Satan's world. Fitting the pattern outlined in Daniel's prophecy, in recent years the Watchtower has served as a spokesman for anointed Christians who are in a covenant relationship with God. And although few of Jehovah's Witnesses would admit it, and most are not even aware of it, the leadership of the Watchtower organization has indeed violated Christ's kingdom covenant. How so? Well, the Watchtower magazine has carried the subcaption, "Announcing Jehovah's Kingdom." The organization also signed an NGO pact with the United Nations, which, as already explained, essentially required the Watchtower Society to use its resources and influence to disseminate information regarding the United Nations agenda for global government. By their treachery, certain men in high places within the Watchtower Society have unquestionably acted wickedly against Christ's kingdom covenant. But in what way, though, might the King of the North have misled the leadership of Jehovah's Witnesses into apostasy by means of smooth words? Well, smooth words might indicate flattering speech or deceptive, counterfeit words. In that respect, it cannot be coincidental that the oligarchy's New World Order and the Watchtower's message of a New World Order are nearly indistinguishable. In fact, the terminology is exactly the same. Consider a few other similarities. Those who advocate a new world order cite the inability of national governments to cooperate in enabling effective environmental laws to prevent rampant pollution. So does the Watchtower. Advocates of a new world order cite wars between the nations as the rationale for doing away with competing national governments. So does the Watchtower. Promoters of a new world order cite the ineffectiveness of national governments in dealing with international terrorism as the basis for global government. So does the Watchtower. The oligarchy behind the New World Order wants to discourage youth from getting a classical education. So does the Watchtower. Virtually every social problem facing the nations today, be it overpopulation, pollution, drugs, crime, or poverty, is used by the imperialist as the rationale for doing away with national sovereignties in favor of global government. In this, the Watchtower appears to mimic the globalists. Smooth words, indeed. But the mimicry goes further than that and stretches back to the attachment Jehovah's Witnesses have to the year 1914. How so? Consider that Jehovah's Witnesses have been led to believe that Satan initially set up the League of Nations as a counterfeit kingdom in direct response to God's kingdom coming to power in 1914. However, the opposite appears to be the case. Amazingly, the Watchtower seems to have imitated the nations. That is because the Watchtower did not even begin to point to 1914 as the date for the establishment of Christ's kingdom until some years later, well after London had already established their hoped-for world government in the form of the League of Nations. Prior to that, the Watchtower had taught that Christ's presence had begun in 1874, and that 1914 would see the breakup and overthrow of all the nations. When those expectations were dashed, only afterwards did the Watchtower formulate the 1914 doctrine in its present form. But how reasonable is it that the nation supposedly banded together as one under the banner of the now defunct League of Nations in order to oppose Christ's kingdom before it was even announced to them that Messiah's kingdom had begun ruling? Put another way, is it sensible to suppose that men counterfeited God's kingdom before Jehovah's servants even began to preach the message that the kingdom began ruling in 1914? Of course, Satan the devil was aware of the emergence of the International Bible Students Movement, and it would obviously suit his purpose to subvert Christ's congregation and make it subservient to his own beastly kingdom.